Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Everyone deserves a chance in the driver's seat. For GM and Revolt, that means leading the way on the road to an all-electric future and envisioning a world with zero crashes, zero tailpipe emissions, and zero congestion. GM's committed to making EVs accessible for everybody. That means you too. So what are you waiting for? GM's got the keys. You grab the wheel. Learn more about an all-electric future and the 000 initiative at GM.com. GM, everybody in.
There's no purpose in teaching anybody who don't really want to learn, who really don't want to get to it. Everybody want to play entrepreneur. They don't want the sacrifice that come with this shit.
Truly. Late nights, early mornings.
You're going to lose friends, lose girlfriends, family going to call you crazy, not going to believe in you, then you make it, and then everybody going to be like, I'm proud of you, let me get some money.
What I've realized that wealthy people understand, and people in general, is the small concepts that you can apply to get wealthy. You don't got to be super smart and got to know all the intricacies of real estate or taxes or e-commerce or whatever, trucking, whatever
it is.
It's
good if you want to be rich in that business, but you don't need to know that.
You don't need to know everything. You just need to know small, basic concepts. Mm-hmm. And one of the smallest basic concepts that anybody can understand is get money by income. Get money, buy more money.
I woke up feeling wealthy today. My bank account might not agree, but hey, that shit on the way. Me and my niggas laying brick on top of brick till we straight. If you the type that play the victim, you can't come in my space. You know this game ain't for the weak, it's hard to carry this weight. I keep my balance through the ups and downs, I'm never gonna break. You feel the purpose in my spirit when you look in my face. Cause this ain't a second, I can waste some good food on place.
What's good with the wealthy people? Your boy David Bellard here, one of the half of the Black Wealth Renaissance podcast, man. Coming at you live and direct from Dallas, Texas, your favorite show, the place to go. I'm here with my brother from another, Jalen Clark. Jalen, how you living, brother?
What up, what up, what up? It's your boy Jalen, man. I'm living great, dog. I'm doing amazing. Before we get started and get into this, I want to say please, everybody, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Make sure you let us know what you think about the show, right? If y'all enjoy it, let us know. If you are one of the first time listeners, this is a special episode. We're going to be doing something, you know, a little old school style, where it's just going to be David and myself on this show. This is going to be the last show of the year.
Wrapping
as well.
Up season four.
Yeah. So, but yeah, man, I'm doing great, dog. I really can't complain. I've had an amazing year, really reflected on it, sat back on it, and really just thought about it. I'm grateful, man. I'm really, really, really grateful. And before we get this thing started, let's take a toast, man. Take us a shot. Shot at that tequila. You see that, huh? Yeah.
It's a 2022. Yeah. We're going to take a sip, not that whole.
That's smooth.
That's a quadruple shot, big dog. But... No, likewise, man. 2022, it's been, I'm not going to say it's the greatest, but it's been a very good year in terms of what I've been able to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Just coming off celebrating a birthday.
Happy birthday to you as well.
Appreciate it. Recently celebrated a birthday. And kind of like how you used to say, around this time of year, I always get to thinking and reflecting. I'm the type of person at the end of every year, I kind of want to just look back, see what it is that I learned from it, and see what I can take from that year moving forward so that I can take the lessons that I learned and make the most of them in the next year. So that's exactly what we kind of want to get into on this podcast, right? With this being something different, with this us being the last episode of the year,
yeah.
Jalen and I just want to share some of the lessons that we've learned throughout 2022, 22 lessons that we learned.
Yeah, this is going to be the 22 lessons of 2022.
That we learned that we're going to be applying to our lives in 2023. Because y'all already know we on this road to wealth. We on this road, this journey. We lift in the community as we climb. And the things that we learn, the value and insight that we are able to gain from the blessing that is this podcast that's been able to touch the lives of, at this point, what, about four million people?
Yeah, something like that, man. Dang. Crazy.
Crazy. The
growth has been amazing, dog. I want to say thank you to everybody who's listening and tapped in.
Yeah, like we have the privilege of sitting down with some great minds and getting to pick their brain. Conversations that we have off camera are amazing. But in our own personal lives, the personal situations that we've been through, we've been able to gain some insight. And we just want to share that with y'all on this episode.
Yeah, so this episode, we're going to be real, real open, real vulnerable. You might learn some things that you might not have known. You're going to learn some things about me and David, and we're going to rock out, dog. And also, I want to say happy holidays to everybody. Once again, this is going to be the last episode, so happy holidays to everybody, and happy new year to y'all. Make sure that y'all are being safe over the over these holidays. If you can't drink, get your Uber or have your designated driver.
Happy Hanukkah and Kwanzaa to all my brothers
Feliz
and sisters.
Feliz Navidad.
That don't celebrate the Christmas and all these other things. We real inclusive at BWR, you feel me? We for everybody. But yeah, man. So Jalen, to get this kicked off, bro, I'm gonna let you share your lesson first. What was the first lesson that you learned of 2021?
My first lesson of 2022?
Yeah, the first one that you wanna share.
Okay, my first one that I have it listed as number one. I really didn't go
think
back
about
and
it
like
the
put
lesson.
It in
yeah,
order
I got
or anything like that. So the first lesson that I have on here though is listen to your gut. Right? You know, sometimes your gut tells you one thing, but you try to rationalize with your conscious mind and make another situation out. And sometimes you try to make it real rational, but sometimes you just have to listen to your gut because there's a little feeling in there that it's like, yo, this is the right choice or this is the wrong choice. Or maybe it's time for you to make and act upon this move at this instant. So that's one of my biggest lessons is listening to my gut and acting upon it whenever I need to.
I feel you with that one, bro. That's something that I believe the first person who really put it away for me was when you listen to your gut, like you talking about that rationalized part. So that's your brain and your heart. Your brain and your heart will mislead you, but your gut knows what's going on. You can't bullshit the gut because the gut is what filters the shit.
Exactly.
The gut filters the shit out. So, like, whenever you get that feeling, that inkling, it's best that you go ahead and act upon that. And whenever you delay it, it's only going to have negative effects. And that kind of goes into one of my first lessons that I wrote down, right, which is being swift and decisive. Because one of the lessons that I've learned throughout this year is that, like, whenever you do decide to make a decision, you need to be steadfast in that decision. You can't like hokey pokey, one foot in, one foot out with it. Like the longer you play around with the decision, the more difficult you're making the situation for yourself. So, I mean, we kind of alluded to it. I think I said it at the beginning. Y'all used to hear us introduce ourselves as 1/4 of the Black Wealth Renaissance. So now it's 1/2. So that's something that's been in the works since March of this year.
Yeah, a long time, actually.
And this is something that was recently resolved, but the decision was made in March, but everything wasn't finalized until November.
Yeah.
So that's a, what that is, 7-8 month time frame where we're basically just in limbo. And whenever you're in limbo, you're not moving forward. You're just bending. You're bending in place. So that was one of the big lessons that I learned. Like, if you're going to make a decision, move with that decision as fast as possible so that you can get to the next thing.
and get that result that you're looking for, or the result that you won't get, and you get to tweak what make the tweaks that you need to make.
Exactly. You can recalibrate a lot faster. But whenever you stay stuck in that same position, mm-hmm. going and you just kicking tires, now you start noticing stuff happening that you didn't want to happen. So again, we talking honesty and transparency.
Just
we saw
door,
a rapid, a vast decline in our business, but because we were dealing with
other things,
our personal situations, it led to all of us not putting in what we should have been putting in.
Mm-hmm.
So it led to the business declining. And again, had we been rapid, swift, and decisive, it
we
wouldn't
could
have been
nipped
the case.
It in the bud, and we could have had maybe a small dip and keep on going. But this one was like more of a very long, long, low trough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's one of the biggest lessons that I've learned is like, you make a decision, act on that joint, even if it's the wrong decision.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
You like you just said, if you make the wrong decision, at least you can recalibrate. Because
mm-hmm.
a loss is only a lesson at the end of the day. And them lessons is truly going to be the biggest blessings. I think Tim, shout out to Tim.
Yeah,
he's one of the guys that,
Tim.
That said it to me. It's like these losses and lessons that you have, these are going to be the things that are going to make or break you as a person. It's going to be the thing that you're going to hold on to with, like whenever you go through the trying times of your life, those are the lessons that you learn that are going to set the bedrock for and the foundation for what you're going to do when things get hard for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll allow you to know that I can dig deep and I can become triumphant if I don't give up. So I like how you put that. I'll go on to my second lesson, lesson three out of all of this. It is,
my brother-in-law died suddenly. And now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, go to SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
Knowing the difference between a good opportunity versus the right opportunity.
Talk about it, brother.
So I think that this was a really great lesson for me this year. So as many of you may know, I'm an insurance adjuster by day, right? And whenever I moved into my crib at the beginning of this year, I was working at an insurance adjusting and deployment. I was working 60 hours a week, sometimes 70. I was working 6 days a week, 10-hour shifts. But I was working from home, so I didn't have to go anywhere. It gave me the ability to really just stack up, sit down and get my mind together. Right. Then at the beginning of the year, my deployment ended up getting released around like February, and I didn't work for like maybe a month and a half, something like that. I didn't work for maybe like a month and a half, and I'm looking for things. Right. I'm looking for jobs, and I ended up finding something in Nashville. Nashville, it was a good opportunity, and it was the right opportunity, because at first I was kind of scared, and this is going to be something that I'm going to talk about as well. It's another lesson, but at first I was kind of scared / apprehensive of moving to Nashville, right? Because I had just got into my apartment. I was really comfortable. I felt like I finally had a sense of solidarity, a sense of security. For those of you who don't know, While we were in Dallas from 2022 up until the beginning of this year, I was living with my line brother. Yeah, 2020, I'm sorry. 2020 up until 2022, while we relocated and moved out to Dallas to really grow the brand, I was living at my line brother and my my other frat brother's house. And I was sleeping in the front room. It was points where I was going from like the blow-up mattress to like a sofa, a couch, right? And it was really hard for me. My mental health was suffering at one point. I was giving a lot to Black Wealth Renaissance. So me getting my place, it gave me that sense of security, that sense of, oh, I have my own, right? So whenever I had to move and go to Nashville, I kind of was kind of scared because it's like, damn, man, I'm just getting comfortable here. And I have to pick up and relocate again. And that's something that I would always have to do as a kid. We relocated a lot. Whenever I was a kid, my mom would just move a lot. So it was something I was like, damn, man, should I really do this? Like I was really
kind of apprehensive about it.
Once again, my gut versus my brain. So I was really kind of scared. But once again, I said it was a good opportunity and it was the right opportunity. I was going out there, I would be making more money than what I was making at home. So I ended up making like $14,000 pre-tax in Nashville versus
per month.
Yeah, per month. Versus here, I was making like how much was I making?
You were going to Lackey, probably like $7,000-$8,000, something.
Yeah,
like
I was making like $8,000 a month pre-tax, after tax, $6,500 a month. So I would almost double like my income, right? So that's the one first part that was a good part, but it also allowed me a lot of freedom with this deployment. I only had to work 50 hours a week on this one. So as long as I hit 50 hours a week, they would pay me my per diem plus my per diem for 7 days. So I would get $170 for 7 days as long as I work 5 days. So I work 5 days, I get paid for a full week. Then I also get my overtime and things like that. But it allowed me the flexibility to fly back to Dallas to do the podcast. I also was able to travel, go doing different things that I wasn't able to do on my last deployment, working from home. Mm-hmm. So it was a good opportunity, but also the right opportunity because it allowed me to take care of more business that I wanted to do versus what I was doing working from home. They also didn't mind with me like taking off, requesting leave early, stuff like that. So, you know, it worked out really, really well. And the amount of workload over there was half of the workload that I had working from home.
That's so key, bro. The right opportunities, right? Because I think that's the thing. When we start talking about a good opportunity versus the right opportunity, and you're talking about that gut feeling, I think that's where faith also comes into play, mm-hmm. right? Because just recently, we were having a conversation when we talked about this, where it was another opportunity that came on the table, and it was a good opportunity, but you had to turn it down because it wasn't the right opportunity, that same flexibility that you get afforded. Because, like, I mean, we all have different situations. We all have different things that we have going on. For us, it's Black Wealth Renaissance. We work as our insurance adjusters. So typically, insurance adjusters have heavy workloads, heavy
independent
hours.
Insurance adjusters.
Independent insurance adjusters. Yeah. So we have heavy workloads. We work heavy hours. And you have to have that flexibility to do something like what we do with Black Wealth Renaissance in our free time. And if you take the wrong opportunity where you may be making really good money, but you're not able
7 days a week.
You're working 7/12s where you're not able to pour into the business because, I mean, let's keep it a buck. We're not machines. Mm-mm. We're humans. Like, if you're working 84 hours a week on a job, how much more do you really have to give to your business? And you may have gotten something that it may have taken care of you in that season, but having that faith and that understanding that this is a good opportunity, but not the right opportunity, mm-hmm. and letting it pass, that's when you get rewarded with the better opportunity because you had that wisdom and that understanding, like that discernment, let me say. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, this is good, but this is not for me. And I think that's something big that we got to learn, just not even on the entrepreneurial wealth type thing.
Just in life in general. In life
in general, like that's an important thing to understand, because everything's not for everybody. I think we've talked about it a few times. We talked about it with Brother Dre when he came on the pod. Like, you'll see everybody, they're doing their thing, they're running their thing in their lane. But it's like, eventually, guys, you got to understand, like, okay, yeah, they killing it in box trucks. I don't do box trucks. That's not for David. David, that's not your lane. Don't try to go run they lane. Do what you need to do, what you're called to do in your season. So you, what is that? You got Turo. You got Black Wealth Renaissance. You're an insurance adjuster. Run those lanes. Do what you do so you can get to your goals. And only take opportunities that fit and align with what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest thing of figuring out if it's the right opportunity is whenever you decide, does this align with my goals? And I think that the biggest thing is not being eager to jump at a good opportunity, right? Especially if you're like in that mode where you just want to get the ball rolling and you're going to take something. So you're going to take the first opportunity that comes your way. I think sit back and relax and really just analyze, like, does this align with my goals? Mm-hmm. If it aligns with your goals, take it. But if not, something else is going to come. Like, what's for you is going to be for you forever.
Facts. And I kind of want to go in there. You got me in here as I'm thinking about it. Now I'm almost changing my list up a little bit, man. One of the big lessons, no, because it plays into this. And as we're having this conversation, I'm thinking about it, like, knowing when you're in survival mode. That's like, we had that conversation. I was talking about
that on live, bro.
We had that conversation with TJ, and it's like, it's very important to understand the difference between when you're in a survival mindset, whenever you're thinking scarcity and lack, and whenever you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, it makes it a lot harder to have that discernment, right? Because now if you're scrambling, mm-hmm. you're gonna hop at the first opportunity. And one of the biggest lessons I had to learn was, like, in order to get out of survival mode, you need to provide yourself with some stability, whether that's through your own endeavors or that's through going and getting the job. So
that's a fact.
One of the biggest challenges that I had to face this year was re-entering the workforce. Whenever we moved here in 2020, I was full-time within the business. Jayla and I have shared, we did not pay ourselves from the business for years. So we finally started paying ourselves from the business, but it wasn't nothing crazy. We were making good money in the business, but we weren't paying ourselves $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a month. It was just a little something. Make pay your rent, you know what I'm saying? Like, but what happened with the situation where we started to see the business decline, I found myself in a position where I started thinking in survival mode, and I had to figure out a way to get away from that. Because whenever you're in survival mode, you make bad decisions. You're not thinking things all the way through, especially financially. Like, I noticed, like, survival mode, that's really why I stopped smoking weed. Because I was like, bro.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance. For your free quote, go to SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
You're stressed. You're not making the money you want to make, but you're going to spend $80 on a sack?
On some weed, yeah.
On a sack? For what? So you can escape your reality? That's survival mode thinking, guys. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not how you really... You're never going to change your situation doing shit like that. You're going to have to put the weed down. Yeah. Put the liquor down. Turn off the fucking TV.
Whatever you have to do to find that stability that David's talking about, you need to let... Whatever is holding you back, you got to let that shit go.
it maybe it's a story that you keep telling yourself about the situation that you in and how you ended up there, placing yourself in the position of the victim. Regardless of what it is, you got to change that. Like, you're a grown individual at the end of the day. Nobody's coming to save you. And that's, I think, the biggest mindset shift. And it's easy to fall into, right? I don't want to sit here and say, I'm like, oh, man, holier than thou. No, like, this happened gradually. This happened, it started off with a depression. And then that depression led to stuff that I'm going to talk about a little later. But whenever you're in that survival mentality, you're not going to operate at your highest frequency. And it's going to affect you in every aspect of your life. So, as mentioned, you're going to have to do an audit. You're going to have to check your habits. You're going to have to figure out what it is that you need to change within yourself or what situation you need to change to get that stability back. So mine was re-entering the workforce. It was like, okay, I'm not making the money I want to make as an entrepreneur. Let's keep it a buck. There's a lot of people out here that's chasing entrepreneurial dreams that's not touching the paper that they would want to touch. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is, I mean, I didn't become an entrepreneur to make 30, 40, or 50K a year.
Nah.
That's not what I did this for. I did this to create wealth. And if I'm out here doing 30K on the personal side, bro, I'm struggling. Like, let's call it what it is. Like,
so, I can go. I think one of the things we discredit about working is the autonomy of you just going into a system and not having to worry about everything else.
You're not wearing all the hats.
Yeah, that comes with entrepreneurship, right? You're just playing your one role. You go in. Whenever you're going to work, you're going to work. You're locked in. But whenever you walk out those doors, you don't have to worry about anything else. Whenever you're full-time entrepreneurship, you're literally thinking about your business 24/7. So until you can get that stability back to where you have that freedom to say, okay, all of my bills are taken care of. I got a little money to, you know, take my lady out. We can go do these things. I can invest the way I would like to. You know, that gives you that time to start thinking and say, okay, let me get back into it with my business.
To even add to that, right? That stability piece, whenever you're at a job, bro, you do not work all day. That's another thing that, like, really people act, you can still work on your business while you at work. 9 times out of 10, you got little pockets in your day where it's nothing happening. You might be BSing, talking around with people, and you can be getting something done. And not, maybe not nothing crazy. You ain't taking meetings and stuff like that.
On my lunch break, I'm taking meetings. I know I've done it many a times.
Whereas, like, you can still get stuff done throughout the workday, and now you don't have that same stress. So that would be my biggest thing with that part, just like learning when you're in survival mode and learning how to pivot out of that. So that would be lesson 4 of 22.
Okay. So going into lesson 5 of 2022, lesson 3 for me. Don't be afraid to rebuild. Don't be afraid to blow some shit up and start over again. I say that to say because it also goes back to us with our business, right? Business was suffering. We had to rearrange a lot of shit. We had to let go a lot of employees. Like, we had a team at one point. We had about 6-7 people all together on the team. We had to let it go. Like, we got down just keeping Arion. Yeah, three. Just keeping Arion, like, for real. And don't be afraid to rebuild, though. And I think it's a two-part thing, right? So the first part is you're like, damn, I worked so hard to get to this point, right? I don't want to let it go. I want to do whatever I can to maintain so I can figure out what's going on to take it to the next level. But you discredit all of the years of experience that you have of getting to this point, right? So don't be afraid to blow it up. Because now you have all those years of experience of what it took you to get here. So you can get back to this step much faster than what you did the first time. Because now you do know what should I not do?
Well, you had to bump your head the first time. Now you know better. Exactly. It's like as a toddler, that first time you touched the stove, it was hot. You was
exactly.
Like, ah, damn, I burned
your
my head.
Your mama told your ass, but you had to learn.
But now that you done learned, you had that knowledge, you know how to move. It's like, all right, let me not do that. One time I burned my damn hand on an iron. I was a kid. Yeah. I touched it like this. I said, an old dude told me, man, just test it like this next time. You know what I'm saying? Like, you, not necessarily touching it, but just test it this way. Because just in case you bump it, at least if you shake hands, you ain't going to be hurting. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a little bit, a little small shift in behavior a little knowledge that you may have
a
that
little
can change
small tweet
that can change the trajectory of something.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we first started, we may not have known that, like, okay, this type of client isn't for us. This isn't the type of person that we need to be marketing our services to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 2-3 years in, this is my client.
Even client-wise, content-wise, right? We fell off with posting our content a lot, but we've done the work so much with content, we know what can
we know what our audience wants.
Yeah, be put up to get back some traction, to get engagement, to get things of that nature, right? So, like, all of those little years of experience, not being afraid to blow it up and rebuild, you can make the tweet. Maybe you were building with shaped spears. Next time, you know, I need to go with rectangles because the shit most solid, right? Like, just understanding those small nuances and giving yourself the credit that you can get back to it again if you got there the first time.
Yeah. Like a phoenix, right? It got to
rise from the
ashes. Rise from the ashes. Like, you blew that shit up, but now the phoenix rose from the ashes. Mm. Definitely. Fucks with that. So, other lesson for me, man. This would be number 3 for me, 6 in total. People don't tell you how they feel. They show you how they feel.
Ooh, that's hard.
Like,
that's
people
hard.
People will tell you shit all day. Like, they mouth will say everything, right? Everything you want to hear. But actions speak louder than words at the end of the day. I'm a big believer in a pattern. I can't remember who the person that taught it to me. It's CPC, right? Clues, patterns, choices. So people will tell you things. People will say this, that, and the third, and they'll tell you the things that you want to hear. But the clue isn't in what they're saying. The clue is in what they're doing. And regardless of what people think, you can't hide what you're doing. Mm-hmm. People see, like, if you telling me you putting in work and a week later, the work not done. Well, the work not done, you're not putting in work. So that's a clue. If this person telling me one thing and doing something else, okay, now you're giving me an indication.
The math
of,
not math.
The math not math. You're giving me a real indication of how you feel and what you really want.
Mm-hmm.
So now if I start seeing a pattern in that, it's like,
if it's every week.
Every week you telling me, man, I'm doing this shit. And then whenever I check back on Sunday, like, hey, bro, you got that done? Oh, nah, bro, I ended up not being able to get around to it. Last Sunday, you told me you was on it.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
You told me you was working on it right now while we was talking. So what happened? So now I see a pattern.
Mm.
And now that I see that pattern, it goes back to choices. And that first lesson, being swift and decisive, right? Once you have the knowledge of what the person really feels by what they're doing, now you have to make a choice. And that choice should be in the best interest of yourself and whatever your mission, vision, and purpose is. Because the longer you delay it, the longer you delay in the purpose you're supposed to feel and the role you have in other people's lives.
That's hard. People don't tell you how they feel. They show you how
they show you. Every time.
That's a good one, dog. I gotta let that one marinate in my spirit. Number 4 for me is going to be enjoy where you're at in the process.
Okay, you kind of stole one from me. It's cool.
It's enjoying where you're at in the process, right? Not looking at what other people are doing.
Preach.
Not not being upset whenever you don't get the result that you thought that you were going to get. Not getting upset whenever you think you should be at a certain point on the timeline, right? Or you should be at a certain level at that point. Sometimes you just got to enjoy where you're at the in the process and take it all in, right? And really figure out, okay.
At State Farm, we're committed to uplifting Black futures. In collaboration with organizations like 100 Black Men and National Urban League, State Farm provides high school students with the opportunity to learn and apply best practice strategies for saving and investing, all while offering academic support, life skills, and exposure to college access programs to prepare these students for life after high school. Check out 100blackmen.org and nul.org to donate and learn more. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
How can I be present in this current moment so I can get what lessons I need to get, but so also so I can enjoy the victories that I am experiencing at this level?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you have to understand that there's always going to be levels to wins. You can win a preseason. You can win your home opener, and then you can win a Super Bowl. All of them are different levels of wins, but you've won at each level, right?
Just because you ain't win the Super Bowl yet don't mean that you got to give up and become sad and be like, oh, damn, man, I really ain't doing it.
Exactly. Look at all the other wins that you had. Yeah, you might have won division champs and everything. You one win shy of the Super Bowl, and now you feel like your whole season is a loss. But look at back what you did. Look at all the accomplishments that you've done in order to even get to the playoffs. Even if you missed the playoffs, what did you do right to get close enough to get to the playoffs? Or what did you do wrong that you can change in order to get better to it? How are you enjoying the people that's in your life in this season, right? How are you cherishing them? How are you showing support to those people at the level that you're on in the process? So that's what I mean. Whenever I say enjoy where you're at in the process. And that was a big lesson for me. I just got to enjoy it wherever I'm at. Enjoy it. Look for the lessons. Tell the people who are helping me in the, thank you. I appreciate you. Like, I don't know how I would have been able to do this without you, because a lot of times we say we self-made, but it's always somebody in your corner who's helping you. They gave you a leg up. Somebody believed in you. Somebody bought your product. Like, somebody is there in order to help you become successful.
That's deep, bro. And I think that gratitude is super important. Like, just for recognizing where you are. And to me, the thing I was going to say is, like, you got to find joy in your journey.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to find a way to enjoy where you are. Like, even if you're constantly on this chase for the next thing, and don't get me wrong, you have to be obsessed if you want to hit the next level. Like, there's no getting around that. You're going to have to make some sacrifices. You're going to have to do things that people may not understand in your circle, but all that should not be at the sacrifice of everything in your life. Because if you sacrifice everything for your business, your job, your money, right? What are you going to have at the end of the day, really? A bunch of money and no people that you love?
You're going to be lonely.
Or you're going to be out here fucked up mentally because the little things in life that brought you joy, you decided you were going to deprive yourself of them. And I'm not talking nothing big, nothing crazy. When I say little things in life that bring you joy, I'm talking about stuff that, like, that's not detrimental to you. It don't hurt. Like me, I like to go out in nature. I like to be outside. Like,
same.
If I'm outside by myself, that's a peaceful time. It brings clarity and sanity to me as a person. And you shouldn't feel guilty about taking a little time away from whatever it is that you're doing to reflect and have that gratitude and spend that time with yourself. And that's something else I'm going to get into a little later. But, yeah, that's deep. I fuck with that one, bro.
That's a bad
one. Big lesson. So which one we on now, man? It's
number four for you.
Okay, so number four for me, right? This is something I think I alluded to earlier. So I mentioned that I kind of went through a season of depression, I say probably from like October of last year till earlier this year, probably like March, April-ish, somewhere in that range, right? And what I learned through this season is like when you don't address your depression, it can lead to like repression. And this is something that I had to think on for a while. So like when I say repression, I mean like you think that you've healed from whatever it is that had you down in the dumps, unmotivated, all these things, but you never really addressed the root of the issue. So what you started doing was building up this wall between you and your emotions, telling yourself that things were okay to keep pushing forward. And now you're less of yourself. You're less than what you wanted to be, what you think of you're supposed to be doing, and you're showing up as less of yourself because you're not in tune with, and you never really handled the cause of the problem to begin with. And this was something that I don't think I recognized until after the separation, was like, wow, me putting this off, because again, y'all, just keeping it open, honest, and transparent. These guys are my fucking friends. Like, it's different, bro. It's different. And that's something that people don't talk about. Like, doing business with friends is great because they're your friends.
You can win together.
You can win together. But if a disagreement comes about and it starts to spill over into the friendship, there's some mental effects there that I wasn't really willing to acknowledge and deal with. So for me personally, that's been one of my goals for 2023, is like I realized that I need to talk with somebody because telling yourself it's okay is not the best way to handle your problems all the time. You really need to process shit. So that's going to be one of the lessons that I'm taking and moving forward in 2023. I'm going to begin counseling. I just want to speak to somebody who is a licensed professional, who has a perspective. And I think Black Men's Summit definitely did a lot for pushing that needle for me, because it was something that where I'm from, my family, my people, it's one of those things. It's like I told my mom, I was like, I think I want to go to counseling because there are certain things that have occurred over this year that I don't feel like I processed correctly. I may still be holding on to some resentment, some things like that. And it's like, okay, I want to do this. And they're like, well, why would you want to do that? Just go pray. And it's like, I don't think that it's a bad thing to want to talk to somebody about dealing with your stuff, especially if you're a person who is like me, who doesn't talk about their problems. I'm definitely and very much from the school of thought that like my problems are my problems. I deal with them by myself. I go off in the corner and do that. So like, that's not a healthy way to process shit, right? Mm-hmm. All the time. There's power in sharing whatever it is that's troubling you, and just talking through your issues, man. Like, I think that's going to be a big thing for me in 2023 to help me get back to myself. Because, again, I felt like I was okay, and then I started recognizing afterwards, like, damn, like, I've really built up this wall between myself and myself. And it's like, are you really showing up fully if you could do that? So that's just one of the lessons that I had.
That's deep as well, man. I went through depression as well around the same time. It probably started a little bit earlier for me. Once again, just because of the situation of where I was at, you know, sleeping, where I was sleeping and stuff. It really took a mental toll on me. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't share with business, is some of the mental tolls that it can take on you. But I also want to highlight the fact of what you're saying, you know, talking to people and going to counseling, and how your mom, you know, said, you know, just pray. Shout out to my guy, Kizzle. Kizzle said, you know, therapy isn't
like
either. Yeah. Therapy isn't an either or, it's an and, right? Pray and go seek therapy, or go to church and go to therapy. You don't have to do one or the other. You can do both. Because although you're praying, sometimes we don't know how to listen to God. Sometimes sometimes we're not in that space to where we can be receptive to the message, right? And we understand
not walking in obedience.
Exactly. Sometimes we understand that faith without works is dead. I could be praying and having a lot of faith, but maybe the work that I need to go do is talking to a licensed professional who can help me understand as well. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that that is a big thing for people to really understand is whenever you're talking about counseling, especially if you have a strong faith or you come from a strong faith background, counseling isn't there to replace the Lord. It's just counseling the Lord.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to highlight that.
Appreciate that, man. Definitely, no dog. I think that's going to be something real big for 2023 for the development and progress of what we got going on.
Yeah, I definitely would like to just go to counseling as well and just get my mind ready. And I even think one of the things that I was thinking about yesterday, I saw like a skit on Instagram or whatever, and a girl was talking about premarital counseling. I was like, why is there no pre-business counseling? Why is there no like counseling dedicated just to business, right? Why don't we make sure that we're okay to deal with some of the situations that are going to come into play whenever we're going into business, right? Maybe you need to figure out, are you the best person at handling customer service?
At State Farm, we're committed to uplifting Black futures. In collaboration with organizations like 100 Black Men and National Urban League, State Farm provides high school students with the opportunity to learn and apply best practice strategies for saving and investing, all while offering academic support, life skills, and exposure to college access programs to prepare these students for life after high school. Check out 100blackmen.org and nul.org to donate and learn more. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
How do you react whenever you're faced with certain situations, right? So I was like, damn, that like, why is there no pre-business counseling or just people focused on just business counseling? And there might be. I might just not be privy to it. But I was just like, damn.
Like a business owner's focused, like mental health portrait. Hey, I don't know if you're a mental health professional listening to this, but if you're a business owner and a mental health professional, that might be a lane that
you can get into. Yeah, I'm going to get into number 5 on my list, number 9 overall. Take care of those that take care of you.
Mm.
Right? Take care of those who take care of you. I think a lot of times in our life, we're so focused on trying to please someone that we want to gain acceptance from or to feel validated by, we overlook the person who's been taking care of us without needing any validation, right? If you call them, they there. If whatever, like, they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't give them the flowers that they need to have, right?
Because they're there.
Exactly. They're so dependable. And you're not taking care of the person who's taking care of you. So I think that that is a big lesson. Just take care of the person who's taking care of you. I said it before. I want to say thank you to my guy, Arion, man. He's been solid.
Arion is like, the GOAT, bro.
Whenever we got to a real low point in the business, like solid, dog. So that's one of the people that I'm talking about whenever I say take care of the people that take care of you. Like, just really look at who's in your corner, who's always there whenever you need them to be there.
Hey, that's facts, bro. That's facts. I got to say it again, reiterate it, man. Shout out to our man, Arion. Yeah, we still ain't got him his drop yet, but we going to get it.
Arion on the boards.
Because, he's definitely an integral part of this business. I mean, at this point, how long has he been recording for us? It's what, year and a half?
Yeah.
Year and a half? It's 2021? Yeah. So, yeah, man, definitely appreciate you, brother. And that's a good lesson, especially in business,
mm-hmm.
Because something that we've learned is like, the people who are the dependable ones are the people that you need to keep around. The people who see the vision, right?
The people
who
are not just
there
you.
For
yeah.
a check. And I kind of want to parlay that into my one of my lessons because it relates to business is it's better to spend money on a task than to acquire a skill. And I don't think enough people think about this as business owners because we try so hard to be everything in our business. And you have to do that in the startup phase. But whenever you start getting to a point where you're making money, you don't need to try to learn the skill. You got to stop that shit. Because guess what? You're being the biggest roadblock to the success of your business at that point.
Because now there's a learning curve you got to go through.
This person already good at it. You just made $1,000 from this. But instead of spending $700 with them to get the job done that's going to help you make money, you thinking, well, I could just do it myself. I'm going to take this course instead. But now you're not thinking about the time contributions. You're not thinking about the mental aspects and that learning curve, like Jalen just mentioned, that you have to go through whenever, if you just spend that money, you just spend money with somebody else who can get the job done, is going to keep you able to focus on what you're supposed to be doing in the business to continue making it grow. And that's that working on the business versus working in the business. Yeah. We definitely, like, this year, that's one of my biggest goals for next year, is like getting away from working in the business
to really being on, like, focusing on the, not the owner operator, but the more owner aspect.
I'm
right?
trying to go to the right side of the cash flow quadrant, baby. I'm not trying to be the self-employed nigga for the rest of my life. Yeah. Listen.
Building the
system. Listen, guys, I understand. I grew up in the country. You wanted something done right, you do it yourself. We did all our shit ourselves.
Fuck all of that, dog.
Family functions. The family come together and we do everything for the function, for the wedding, everybody cooking, all hands on deck, we decorate. Fuck that shit, guys. Like, I'm not saying this to say that to my family, but like, this is not the way to operate within a business. Mm-hmm. And I'm a firm believer that, like, for the task and things that you are proficient in, you're only as good as a business as your ability to replace yourself. Mm. If you can't replace yourself, if you can't get somebody to do what it is that you've been doing, you can't scale. How? Because we've had this conversation multiple times with many of the people I consider mentors at this point, where it's like one of the biggest challenges was like, though, talking about taking care of the people that take care of you, right? Getting people that I consider D&C players and having to micromanage them and stay on top of them to do my job. Well, now I'm not free to work on the business now, because I'm over here nitpicking through everything that you doing all day, every day. That's not how that should go. If I can't give you some SOPs, I can't give you some Loom videos, I can't give you some guidelines and some expectations of what needs to be done, and expect the work to be done without us having a conversation every 2 days or every 5 minutes, you're not the person for me in this business. I need you to replace me. And I know whenever it's me doing it, it's going to get done. I don't need you to be the person who I have to check on every time to make sure it's done. I need you to be the person who's telling me when it's done, and who's, if they have a suggestion, that's one of the big things. Like, the people who are going to help you grow and scale are going to have suggestions.
And they're not afraid to share those suggestions as well.
They're not afraid to learn your guidelines or your rules, the things that you're set for, and they're going to use and implement those things. So that's like one of the biggest lessons. And that's added into my discernment of knowing like who's going to be good for this team or not, because that's going to be the thing that takes it to the next level. It's like getting away from working on stuff, you spending a little bit of money, mm-hmm. and identifying people who can replace the things that we're doing so that we can keep growing. And that's not just for Black Wealth Renaissance, that's for every business, but that's a lesson that I've truly internalized this year.
Took some time. I like that lesson.
Took some time. I'll say that. E-Myth, read it in 2020, thought I understood, didn't really.
Nah.
Got to bump your head a little bit sometime, but mentorship helps. I'll say that.
Oh, yeah. Number six for me, going into number 11 overall, ask for help when you need it.
That's major.
Simply put.
Put your pride to the side.
Ask for help when you need it. I know me and David, we're both one of the same type of people, right? We don't ask for help a lot of the times. Like, a lot of times it's like, I'm gonna figure out how to get this shit done. Me, I'm the older brother. So I've always had to have it figured out. I always had to be the example setter. I always had to be the person, like, I can't let them see me that I don't understand what the fuck going on. So I've always had to figure it out on myself anyway. So I've always thought that way, like, yo, if you don't do it or if you don't figure it out, like, it's not going to get done. But sometimes you have to ask for help. Like, there's times where it's just simply you can't get it done, and you have to ask for help.
Facts.
And it's okay. It doesn't mean
it's okay.
It doesn't mean that you're
help.
A weak person. It doesn't mean that you're not capable of doing it. You just have to ask for help.
And it, like you said, it doesn't make you less of. It doesn't make you weaker. You just ask for help. Because at the end of the day, it was the thing. If you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. Mm-hmm. Get somebody there that's there. Like, ask for help. I 100% agree with that. And it's still something that personally I'm working on.
Yeah, I know. So yesterday, I called this nigga, right?
I was going to ask.
No, you fucking was taking so fucking long. So look, y'all.
Listen.
Let me get the damn shit off. So... He's moving to a new place, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna sell my washer and dryer." He's like, "I might have to go deliver it." He sold it, and earlier the week he was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna have to go deliver." He called me. He's like, "Hey man, you got a dolly? I might need to use that shit." Like, why the fuck he just in my head? I'm like, why didn't he just ask me if I can help? He know I ain't doing shit. He know I ain't working right now. The nigga still didn't ask. So up until yesterday. I called her. I was like, "Hey, man, when the fuck you gonna ask me to help you do this shit? Because you know you ain't got to do it by yourself." He's like, I was just about to call you. Call me my ass, nigga.
Ah, man, I'm telling you, I was gonna call you. It'll probably be around 8 p.m. You know what I'm saying?
You full of shit.
But either way, my nigga helped me out. We got the shit done. You feel me? But no, to that point though, right? It's a pride thing. And like, pride will keep you broke.
That's a fact.
Some real shit.
And I kind of want to interject right here, right? There's posts going on checking on your strong friend and everything like that right now because of the guy who committed suicide. I think it's knowing your strong friend, knowing that what type of person they're at. Instead of saying, "Are you okay? Do you need help?" I knew the nigga needed help. So I'm hey nigga, what time you need me to be there? Instead of saying, "Are you okay? What can I help you with?" That's something that I think could go so much further with the strong friend, right? Because I'm one of those friends. And I don't get asked that question a lot. What do you need help with? Mm-hmm. If you just ask me that, and sometimes I'm like, "You know what? I actually do need help with this. Can you help me out with that?" So I think knowing your strong friend, and instead of asking them if they're okay, ask them what they need help with.
At State Farm, we're committed to uplifting Black futures. In collaboration with organizations like 100 Black Men and National Urban League, State Farm provides high school students with the opportunity to learn and apply best practice strategies for saving and investing, all while offering academic support, life skills, and exposure to college access programs to prepare these students for life after high school. Check out 100blackmen.org and nul.org to donate and learn more. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey y'all, what's up? It's Devin here from Money Honeys. If you're a fan of learning about your business and finances through storytelling and pop culture, then you gotta be sure to check out and subscribe to Money Honeys, a show that covers the nitty-gritty of maintaining your personal wealth through fun conversation. And you know what? It's brought to you exclusively by the Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip-hop, powered by creators.
I'm not even gonna get into it with this whole check on your strong friends narrative. Like, I think it bothers me that it's only whenever something bad happens that the Black community wants to have conversations like this. Like the music, Takeoff got killed, and now it's like, "Oh man, we gotta stop listening to murder music." And it's like, but then you're gonna go back on and cut on the same shit you was listening to a week later. I digress. I'm not
just
gonna
be
get
real
into,
with yourself.
I digress. That's not like what we're here for today.
Ask them if they need help. Just ask.
Lessons. So, this is going to be number six for me.
Yeah. 12 in total.
Number 12 in total. So, no paperwork, no partnership.
Oof. Woo-hoo!
I'm going to say
repeat
it again for
that
you.
Shit.
No paperwork, no partnership. If you can't put it in black and white and you don't have clear guidelines as to what is supposed to happen, who's responsible for what, and what the splits are when we're talking about money, it's no partnership here. Because that's one of the biggest things that I've seen across the board that has ruined businesses. And personally, I've had to walk away from things. Jalen and I have had to walk away from things this year because the lessons that we've learned from our personal business with this that we've started made us move different when it comes to relationships and partnerships with other people. And it's like, okay, yeah, y'all, it's all good to handshake. Hey, man, we're going to do this, whoop de whoop de whoop. But you need it in black and white. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, that's what matters. Like, what's on this paperwork?
What's the fucking receipts?
Because this is what's going to govern what happens if shit don't happen the way it's supposed to happen. Because at the end of the day, yeah, it's great to be idealistic. But guys, everything don't work out and everything don't shake out the way it's supposed to. And if somebody can't give it to you in black and white and it's not an agreement that you can come to, walk away. Simple as that. Like, I'm not saying that you walk away from every opportunity, but if you have leverage in a deal, you have something special, you don't give that shit away for nothing. Mm-hmm. If it's no paperwork and you don't agree with the guidelines that's set forth, walk away from that shit. No paperwork, no partnership to me. That's my big one, man. That's
like that.
2023, don't approach me about no partnership if you ain't got no paperwork to sign.
I'm going to put another disclaimer. If you too cheap to invest in your own domain name and actual email thing, don't fucking hit us up either. Because nigga, invest in that shit. That shit not expensive.
That shit do be like $50 if that.
Fuck. That shit be pissing me off. I ain't gonna lie, bitch.
You sound kind of mad.
Yeah, that shit do piss me off, man. Why your shit don't say at whatever your business is? It's at Gmail or at Yahoo. Do the shit right. Let's move
you with getting financing and shit like that. But y'all listen to that episode with Ellie for that type of shit.
Yeah. We're going to go into number 7 for me, right? Fight for what you want / need. Mm. And one of the biggest lessons for that with me was the Marketing for Black Men Summit, right? I feel like we didn't fight enough for a larger marketing budget. And when it came down to it to really produce what we needed to, we didn't have the budget.
There were some caveats.
It was some caveyats. But at the same time,
that
should have been something that we were still
pushing.
Non-negotiable. Yeah, it's like, yo, we understand that production is large, but we also have to get it out so we can get asses in these seats. Mm-hmm. So, and that's not just like that one specific, but it's like for anything, right? If you want that shit, go get it. Like, nobody's just going to hand it out to you. Nobody's just going to say, here, Jalen, it's yours. I want to make $1 million next year. You know what the fuck we got to do? We got to go get that shit.
You got to ask some people. You got to ask for the sale. You got to ask for the deal. You got to reach out. You got to put the work in.
Like, you got to fight for that shit.
Ain't nobody going to just be like, yeah, like you said, nobody going to just reach out like, hey, Jalen,
I got $1 million for you.
Got $1 million I want to spend with you. And the person that does reach out to you like that,
they're probably a
fucking scammer. They probably trying to scam you. I ain't going to hold you.
Probably so.
Like, you know what's realistic and you know what's not realistic in terms of somebody offering you. But like, Jalen, I like that lesson. Fight for it if you want it. Because, and that's not just anything. That's everything in life.
If it's a woman you want, fight for it.
Fight for it.
If it's a car you want, fight for it. The house you want, fight for it. The life you want to live, go fight for that shit.
If it's a deal that you want and somebody turning you around, man, go above their fucking head. Fight for that shit. It's always another level. But the second that you lay down and give up, you admit defeat. So fight for it. I'm with it. And at the very end, if you fought for it and you didn't get it, you knew you did
everything that you could.
Your fucking humanly possible that you could have done to get this thing. So you don't have regrets the way you would have
if you just
laid down.
Maybe I should go do it.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda ass nigga.
Exactly.
You a shoulda, coulda, woulda ass nigga.
This guy.
You remember that song? That nigga 2 Chainz ain't that shit. Oh, shoulda, coulda, woulda ass nigga.
This guy.
Hey, what was that mixtape?
I don't fucking know, man. We stand on topic right now. We'll deviate a little bit later in this episode. Right now, we on our list.
All right, back to the lessons. Okay, so.
But yeah, that was number 7 for me. Fight for what you want / need.
Fight for it. Okay, so number 7 for me, I would say, is going to be separating your accounts is a necessity. Mm. You cannot have all your money in one pot, right? So this is something that I got caught up on earlier. I shared it kind of briefly before. I had things go left with the Turo business. I mean, when I say left, guys, I had all my cars break down at one time, right? And all my money was going into one account for all the cars. So,
damn, I didn't know that.
Yeah, all my money from the cars was going into one account. So whenever the issues started to arise, it became more challenging because they didn't have their own funds set aside. And because I'm spending on maintenance and repairs, and I was also using some of this money personally, it became a fucking fiasco and a disaster.
I ain't gonna lie, son. I thought you was doing a little bit better than
that. Hey, dog, it became what it became.
Hey, I understand.
Became what it became. I had it all going into one account instead of each having a car with their own account, so that their income would be the income for the car. That way, like, if a situation arises,
you got the funds set aside.
And, like, I say that for personal and business. Like, I think every individual should have at least two checking accounts.
That's a fact.
As a person, you need a checking account that's going to be for your bills.
Just
the bills. Like, none of the others, just bills. You're going to have another checking account that's going to be your fund money, your whatever you need.
Haircuts, I think you also pedicures.
Should have two savings accounts. You should have a savings account that's just your regular savings, and then you have your emergency fund savings where you put it off in a high-yield savings account. In business, same shit, right? We've made this transition to profit first. Shout out to Suzanne. Shout out to Mike Mikolowicz.
Love you, Suzanne.
Great system. It's a great system. This system will save you.
I ain't gonna lie. At first, it was so hard transitioning, but now that we're starting to get it under our feet, I love it.
It makes so much sense. Like, when I say, I guess, having separate bank accounts, it's really just a system. You have a system for how you're putting out your money, because if you don't have a system, you're gonna succumb to bullshit. You're gonna succumb to whenever the unexpected expense comes. You won't have it there for you because you fell victim to bank account I'm looking at the account is there, but if I have multiple accounts where I put the money, you know how much stress that pulls off of you.
I know my tax is taken care of.
Uncle Sam, you need 15% of what we made last year. Oh, we got that sitting right here. Here you go,
playboy. It been saved for you, dog.
It been sitting right. It's for you. It was waiting. We was waiting on you at the door. We knew you was coming for it. So instead of you scrambling and being like, damn, man, oh, man, I spent all this on operations now because I'm trying to scale. I'm trying to do this. Now, because I have this system in place where I know when I get paid on the 10th and the 25th, my money going, 15% of this money going to taxes, because guess what? I know that expense is coming. Mm-hmm. I know this is going to happen. So I'm prepared. So that'd be one of the biggest lessons to me. The separate bank accounts, setting that system up of how you're going to divvy up your money so that you're prepared for any season.
Mm, I like that. I'm going to go into my next lesson. Lesson number 8 for me. A yearly trip is a must. So I ended up going
on a non-business trip.
Yeah, like a non-business trip. It's a must. I ended up going on my first vacation since 2017 this year. And man, that shit felt amazing, dog. Like, really just to be able to disconnect, not have to worry about what's going on. Like, I thought about it, but I told myself I'm not even buying the internet package on the cruise because I want to give myself that barrier, that buffer to where I don't even have to think. Like, if I think about it, I still can't get to it, right? Like, I'm forcing myself to hit the pause. Yeah, to be present
in that moment.
Exactly. And this is something else that I learned from my guys, Tim and Anthony. They gave me the difference between a trip and a vacation, right? A trip is whenever you're going to plan something, you got a certain itinerary. That vacation, that's where you just go, you chill, you relax, you unwind. So honestly, I'm going to say a trip and a vacation is a must. A trip just to get away, to get some new insight, because with traveling, you do gain new insight. You get a new outlook on the world. But the vacation, that's where you recharge and you really relax. You disconnect and you get your mind right and you heal on the mental level.
Yeah, man, I need a vacation, dog. Now that you're saying it, I ain't take a real vacation.
Got to plan for it, bro.
Vacation, because All my trips be business trips. Even next year, I want to go to Ghana. We gonna go. Not want to. We're going to Ghana. So y'all be on the lookout. BWR in Ghana. We're going to Ghana. I'm gonna have on the African drip, big nigga African drip style. You feel me? I'm gonna get my Ghanaian name. We gonna do all that ashy shit. I ain't gonna be ashy, nigga. Bitch, you got me looking at my hands now. Nah. Wait a minute. But that's still gonna be a business trip. So like planning for that vacation, I do think is very important.
Like, that's something I'm gonna talk to Tanae about, is like, what's gonna be our two trips for next year? So I can put that on the schedule and just plan around that. Like, this is non-negotiable. Even if it's a staycation, nigga, you can't talk to me right now. I'm off the records right now.
Hey, do that for your mental health.
Yeah,
it's important, especially like goes back to kind of that thing about enjoying the journey, valuing where you are, enjoying that moment, being present.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely important that you do that.
Yeah. So that's my lesson, is a yearly trip / vacation is a must.
It's a requirement. So rolling into my lesson, this is going to be number 8 for me.
Mm-hmm.
So number 8 for me, 16 total. This is something that I just kind of thought of more recently. And it's conceal your intentions until you reach your desired outcome.
Mm.
So before you start shouting from the mountaintops of this is what I want to do, this is where I want to go, make sure that you've put everything in motion to make sure that it's going to happen. There was a study that was done in like 2009 at NYU. And it showed that if you publicly share your goals, you're less likely to accomplish them.
Really?
Because you get the social satisfaction of people saying, that's a great goal. You get the social satisfaction of sharing that you want to do this. So mentally, right, you get the same dopamine effect. Hit. You get that dopamine hit, that effect of being the person who did the thing when you, in all reality, you hadn't done the thing yet.
You just shared your intentions.
So sharing it from the mountaintop, saying I want to do it. And I mean, you could look at it two different ways. Some people think sharing your goals is going to hold you accountable. But I'm a firm believer that you should make the moves in silence. And then once it's secure, that is whenever you deliver your true intentions. So that's one of my lessons. That's something that I'm moving with intention into 2023. Y'all might hear me say what I want to do, but y'all ain't going to hear everything. I tell you that much. Like whenever it's done, that's when you'll hear from me.
I like that. Number 9 for me is don't be afraid to get uncomfortable. And that goes back to my story earlier with moving to Nashville for a few months, right? Mm-hmm. I had to get uncomfortable. I had to step out of my comfort zone of being in my home and take that step so I can go make some of the best money I've ever made in my fucking life. I made 18 bands in 1 month at that job. Like, I'm going to let y'all sit on that.
How many people know making $18,000 a month? That's almost $20,000 a month, bro.
Exactly. Back home, that's some teacher's salaries.
Half of it.
Like.
You and I had that conversation, bro. Like, a few years ago, this is the type of money that we damn near made in a year type shit. Like, when we started Black Wealth Renaissance.
Exactly. Working where we were working at. We were making
27 before taxes.
Yeah.
Before taxes, guys. So to make 18 in a month is insane. And I'm fucking proud of you for that, bro.
Thank you, my brother.
I am, bro. Because, like, again, seeing your journey, seeing where you came from, seeing where you were a year ago and where you are now, that shit made me happy.
Thank you,
because you deserve that shit because you put the fucking work in.
Thank you. And I, like, the whole journey was so surreal. Like, once again, I told you guys, I'm sleeping on an air mattress in a sofa the year before. Fast forward, I got an apartment in two of the nation's largest cities. Not just cities, but largest cities. I'm living in Nashville and in Dallas.
We ain't talking no $700 rent, nigga.
Exactly. Like, both of my rent, my rent in Nashville, it was like $2,400. I had a roommate, so splitting that in half. Like $1,200 a month. And my rent out here was $1,200 a month. So I'm still paying $2,400 a month just in rent. Then I had bills in both places. And it was just like, it's such a blessing that me being uncomfortable, I had the opportunity to experience that. I had the opportunity to do both of the different things. So don't be afraid to be uncomfortable. Another thing with being uncomfortable is having those uncomfortable conversations.
Ooh-wee.
We had to have that conversation with our other business partners, right? And that shit wasn't comfortable. But the desired outcome and what we got from the uncomfortable conversation, it was worth it. We got relief on our mental. We got relief in the business, and we got clarity. You realize how
much weight you were carrying around till after like, that uncomfortable
like
conversation.
That shit really felt like really feel like I got new energy about this shit.
We talked about it that same exactly. day. Like after getting it done, it was like, wow. Uncomfortable conversations are so necessary. Shout out to our guy Kobe. I need to get with Kobe again soon.
I hit him up recently.
Yeah, man, I need to get with Kobe again soon because he was one of the first people that told us about that. Tough conversations are one of the things that you really need to have.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to glaze over that fear aspect because I do believe that, like, the life that you want to lead is on the other side of the shit that scares you the most.
It is.
And just because it's scary doesn't mean it's not right for you. Going back to that right opportunity versus a good opportunity, just because it may feel easy and all that, that may be a good opportunity. But maybe what this season is asking of you is to challenge yourself.
Mm.
And the right opportunity may be a little scary. It may ask you to put in a little extra time. It may ask for you to put something to the side for a little while.
Hmm.
But what's on the other side of that? What's the benefit of that for you? I'm glad you shared that one, bro.
Hey, no problem, my brother.
So
this was actually a fun exercise doing this. I think we should start doing this every year on the pod. Like,
yeah.
It's really just
y'all let
fun
us
just,
know what y'all think too. Yeah. I feel like we
sitting back, reflecting. It gave me a chance to be grateful for everything that I've experienced. Gave me a chance to really analyze the lessons that I've had. So I liked this exercise.
For sure. So this is number 9 for me?
Yeah.
Okay, so 9, 18 total. This is something that I learned while dealing and getting away from the depression survival mode time. Isolation is dangerous, but solitude is necessary.
Ooh.
So there's a difference between isolation and solitude. Isolation is cutting yourself off from the world, and it makes that, and that's like a dangerous place to be in, right? Because whenever you're not feeling yourself, whenever you're depressed, can't get out of bed, lacking motivation, all these things, and you start cutting yourself off from people, like, you get these unrealistic expectations of the way that the world works. And that's not the same as solitude. So, like, solitude is you just separating yourself for a brief time so you can have that time with yourself. And in that time, you practice the gratitude. You reflect, you learn, you do things that bring you joy, just you, that don't involve other people. But you should never cut yourself away from people, because as humans, we are social beings. We need people in our lives, and isolation is dangerous, because whenever you start disassociating yourself with everybody and you don't answer the phone for people and you're just sitting there, you're never going to change your situation. You become basically in your own little world. And that's a bad place to be sometimes. So that was one of the big lessons I learned this year. Like, know the difference between whenever you're isolating yourself, you're putting yourself on an island, you're separating yourself from everybody for the wrong reasons. It's okay to do it if you're doing it for the right reasons. If you're going to reflect, you're going to practice gratitude, you're going to pray, be with God, do things that enjoy yourself, that you enjoy as an individual. But if you're just doing it and you're just sitting down in the room all day by yourself, don't talk to nobody, that's solitary confinement.
Mm-hmm.
That's you're putting yourself in a voluntary solitary confinement. That's not good for yourself. So that's something that I learned this year.
That's deep. I like that. We're going to number 10 on my list. Learn how to use our network more. We need to learn how to leverage our network more. I think that this is something, once again, bad that we don't have, is asking for help when we need it. especially from people that we have in our network. There's a lot of people who want to help us. And sometimes we just don't reach out and ask them for help, or we don't leverage their expertise. So that's something that we're going to implement in 2023, is really leveraging that network, figuring out how we can find the right people to really align with us to get us to those goals that we want to go to. So that's one of the biggest lessons for me of 2022.
That's major. Definitely still one of those things. Again, growing, helping, working on for myself. Asking for help has always been a challenge. I think going back to my last lesson, just like learning that isolation, that cutting yourself off from people, that's dangerous. Having conversations create currency. Having conversations create opportunities. And just being present with people and getting to know people, that equity that you build with people, that value, you shouldn't take that for granted. Like, especially when it comes to even the conversation of asking for help, right? Mm-hmm. Because even though I got to know you, we cool, I still may not want to ask for help because I might feel like I'm bothering that person, right? Mm-hmm. But you got to understand, going to the fighting for it, I don't give a damn, bro. Like, if the shoe was on the other foot, would they feel the same way? Put your probably pride not to the side. Ask for the damn help. Because, again, the thing that you're scared to do probably is what's stopping you from getting to that next level.
Yeah.
So definitely going to be asking for more help in 2023. And if you're listening, just know,
when we call,
pick up the phone, baby.
But you know we're coming with the value as well.
Always. Always. Because that's what we about with BWR. So the next lesson I say that was big for me would be not getting caught up in hype. So, like, I think after the whole pandemic craze and all this with stocks and crypto, it's real good to see a cycle come and go so that I can understand, like, what hype looks like and when not to get too caught up, right? We always talk about the Warren Buffett quote, his famous, be greedy when others are fearful and fearful when people are greedy. But, like, applying that in real life is really important. I mean, we seen earlier this year, like, now, obviously, hindsight's 2020. We look at FTX. We look at the NFT pump and dumps. And we're like, man, we should have seen that shit from a mile away.
Yeah.
But whenever it was so hype and that FOMO was so high, everybody was willing to hop in regardless of it and started ignoring the risk, right? So don't get caught up in hype at the thinking of the proper word I want to use here. Like, you don't want to get so caught up in hype that you're ignoring risk, basically. Like, only get into something and only invest what you're willing to lose. So, like, one trend that I thought might have been something big, GameFi. I got caught up in the hype of GameFi. I thought, I was like, oh, man, this is going to be great, right? Look at these returns we're getting on DeFi Kingdoms. Niggas was getting a fucking 160% APY.
300% on some shit, nigga.
Nigga, I'm looking every day this shit going up, boy. I'm like, man, this lit. But the hype was so high and people was hopping in it because everybody was talking about it. But whenever everything fell apart, and GameFi fell apart way before this whole FTX debacle, way mm-hmm. before, I think it fell apart when Bitcoin went from 60 to 40. Like, it was like, oh, wait. Oh, can't do that. But not getting so caught up in the hype and understanding at the end of the day the fundamentals of whatever it is that you're investing in. Still, like a Bitcoin, right? We've had conversations, Jake and all these other people was like, hey, it's not an investment. I still believe that Bitcoin is a great long-term hold. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to put money here because I do see this as the underlying asset of the cryptocurrency market. So, like, looking at it that way, understanding the functionality of it, where it was created as the first alternative currency. It hasn't been hacked in all these years. It's decentralized in the truest sense, where it's no one nation that controls it. There's so many different factors that you need to understand before hopping into something, versus like these NFT projects where everybody was just like, hey, yo, I got this picture that you can buy And this is the utility that's not really any utility. It's like I can put clothes on a virtual character and like, okay, nigga, just buy the fucking thing with the V-Bucks on 2K. You know what I'm saying? Like, why am I going to put all my money in a crypto for that shit? Like, just understanding that and not getting so caught up in the hype and the headlines. That's one of the things that I'm leaving this year with moving forward. Next time we have a market cycle, I'm going to know when to sell. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
I think that it was a great learning lesson, though. Like, really just going through a full market cycle. Is like, I have learned a lot just from being an investor. Like, yo, like you said, knowing when to sell.
Losing a couple $1,000 will do that for you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, goddamn, man. So I probably lost about $5,000-$6,000. Like, nothing crazy. Hey, I ain't lost my life savings, no net worth. We ain't risky out here like that.
But still, hey, man, I'm glad we ain't turned into crypto crash test dummy.
Hey,
nigga.
I almost was. I did half my shit.
We almost risked it for the biscuit.
Almost. I did half of one of my stock portfolios. That's another thing, separate accounts, separate purposes. Going back to that, like, I have separate stock accounts for separate purposes. I have a long-term investing portfolio. I have a swing trading type portfolio, and I have this is when I'm trading options and doing all this other shit. If I'm feeling frisky, this is my risky money. And I think it's important to have those different options. So I liquidated half of one of those swing accounts, and I was like, I'm going to just swing crypto. And
I don't think you ever swung back, nigga.
I ain't swung back. I got my ass whooped. Fight back, nigga. So.
Put it in reverse, Terry.
Nah, but I'll tell you, one of the biggest things I'm happy about, boy, I almost approached my family by trying to get them to invest in some crypto together.
Boy, them niggas would have hated you. Ooh, David, man. You're a fucking dumbass.
You dumb nigga. I gave him my money, he lost it. So again, not getting caught up in hype. Oh, I was very, that's why I think I really internalized it, because like at that time I was like, man, this is the best time to invest. And it's like, it was the worst time to invest. And I could have walked my people in, I could have integrated my people into a burning ship.
Yeah. Mm. But I kind of, like you said, you know, knowing when to sell. When shit hitting all time highs, why the fuck I need to be buying? Like, my biggest lesson.
You should never buy nothing at an all time high.
My biggest lesson is I buy on red days. If I see that fucking shit lit up green, I'm not fucking buying. I don't care if that shit is down 0.5%. I'd rather buy it down 0.5% than whenever that bitch is up.
I'm saying though, like, even because we had that conversation with Ian. Like 50% down from all time highs is some of the best times to buy, right?
Right now.
But right that now everybody's pulling their money away.
When I'm telling you, when I'm seeing 52-week lows, I'm seeing that shit right now.
Here you go. Let me scoop up all this, because my thing is, like, Snapchat, right? I loved it at $70, so now I'm going to hate it at $7. That don't sound right.
That's like if I wanted them J's. If I wanted the Space Jordan J's at $222. And I catch them on sale for $70. What's the difference? I still love the shoe.
That's a fact.
So I'm going to get into my final lesson of 2022. Lesson 11. Implement good advice immediately.
That's a big one.
Implement good advice immediately. Once again, shout out to a lot of our friends who are our mentors. They give us a lot of advice. And one thing about David and myself is we're going to implement that shit. You tell us, hey, yo, this shit worked for me. Hey, if it worked for that nigga, it can work for me. That's the type of nigga I am. I'm going to believe it. Until I go try it and it don't work, then I'll be like, hey, man, what the fuck you was talking? I did this and I didn't get the result. Oh, I forgot to tell you, got to do this. Okay, hey, don't leave that shit out next time. But implement it to go get the results that you want to get. Tim gave us some good advice. We implemented that shit immediately, and then we got the results.
It fixed the situation that went on for months.
I'm just saying. So, like, implement good advice immediately. Whenever you have good advice from a person that you know they're at a place where you want to be, and they give you a gem, go implement it.
Seek wise counsel always. It's definitely super important, like you just mentioned, because it's like certain situations, like, people will give you good advice, and sometimes you'll drag your feet on acting on it. You'll be like, oh, man, I don't know if I should do that. But to Jalen's point, if they've been there, done that, and experienced this, why wouldn't you listen to them? Because just because the situation is personal to you doesn't mean it's unique to you. Mm. Just because it's happening to you doesn't mean it hasn't happened to someone else. And somebody who's been there and done that, again, seeking that wise counsel, they can offer you actionable solutions. You just have to be willing to take the actions to get those solutions. And if you're not willing to take the steps,
don't even ask for it.
Don't ask, because that's disrespectful to the person that's offering you the advice. I think that's another piece that that you don't consider sometimes. It's like, people ain't going to keep giving you advice forever. Yeah. Especially if they see you not using it. It's like, well, these niggas ain't listening. They just going to keep dealing with the same shit. All right, cool. I'm just shut my mouth.
Hell yeah.
Say don't cast pearls to swine, you don't want to be considered swine.
Oh, that, I ain't never heard of that one, but okay.
Pearls of wisdom, like gems. Don't get it. Lead a horse to water, can't make him drink. This one of those colloquialisms, you know, that the people say.
Country shit.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Don't cast pearls to swine because it's
some country shit.
Hey, man. I don't think that was really country, though. I think that's like a probably from.
Sound like he picked that shit up off of Bellard Loop, nigga.
Hey, man. We got some shit back there. But nah. Ah, man.
Last one for you, dog.
So, final lesson for me, man. Shout out to my guy Malik. We're going to get him on next year. There's no kindness where there's uncertainty. He dropped that one on me recently, and it really stuck with me. So, a lot of times we want to make the people in our lives happy. We want to make the people that we fuck with or people that we're building relationships with happy. And we may keep things ambiguous or say things that aren't really clear or give direct guidance as to where we want to go. But you, in the effort of making them happy, if you're not giving a clear goal or a clear directive or action, you're not doing them a favor. So that's something that just stuck with me. Like, there's no kindness where there's uncertainty. So, like, even with in business and personal relationships, if you don't know exactly what you want, figure that out and relay that directly. Don't pussyfoot around with it, because it's not going to help anyone at the end of the day.
I like that one.
Well, y'all, family,
that's 22 lessons of 2022. I hope y'all got some value from this.
Definitely hope that you enjoyed this episode.
Y'all leave us a review with one of your biggest lessons of 2022 as well. If
you've listened to this podcast all year, I want to know, what have you learned from the show in 2022?
Or even just in life in general.
In life in general. Go ahead, leave the review. Share it down with us below. We'll be sharing these whenever we come back for season 5. Yo, we 5 seasons in this thing.
Turn up!
5 seasons. Bitch, where the tequila?
What a champagne at?
Spray the champagne.
champagne shouts.
But nah, man, 5 seasons in this thing. A lot of great stuff on the horizon. We are a part of the Revolt Podcast Network. Y'all look forward to some of the great things that we have coming next year. With them, with a few of the different places that we'll be going. Black Wealth Renaissance will be coming to a city near you. In 2023, real soon. All our people, y'all stay tapped in. Y'all know we've been rocking with y'all. Y'all been rocking with us. Again, man, we don't do this enough.
Thank you.
My name is David Bellard,
and my name is Jalen Clark.
You can follow me on social media at David_Bellard. I'm all about uplifting the culture. I'm all about education, financial literacy, and really just helping us improve. If you're trying to get on some digital marketing shit, get at me. I know what the fuck I'm talking about. I don't pop my shit, but I know how to make some shit shake. We ain't got almost 600,000 followers on Instagram alone, 100,000 on TikTok, and all these other platforms for nothing. We know what we're talking about when it comes to garnering attention and converting traffic. So y'all got some digital marketing needs. Y'all got some advertising needs, come fuck with us. Y'all can DM me personally. Y'all can DM Jalen personally. Y'all can email us at podcast@blackwealthrenaissance.com. And in 2023, we're going to go up together. We're going to lift as we climb and rise, and we're going to fly this motherfucker to the sky, man.
I like that. This nigga's rapping now. Y'all can follow me is on Instagram at underscore J, just the letter J Clark, C-L-A-R-K, 06, underscore J Clark, 06. My Twitter is...
You got to throw the alpha hand sign up every time you say that.
My Twitter is Hefe Clap. Clap is spelled with a K instead of a C. But Hefe Clap, y'all can follow me on both of those. If you need help with getting your podcast together, getting some topics together, making sure that you have enough substance for whatever you're talking about, monetizing your podcast, man, you can contact me.
If you
want
to know how to put that shit together, get with this nigga, man.
Yeah.
I'll you listen to this out. Episode and you're like, man, I want to start a podcast. This the guy, man.
I get y'all audio right. We can figure out all of those type of things. I can help you create an intro, outro, all of those different type of things for your podcast. We can do that for you. So contact us once again, podcast@blackwealthrenaissance. Or if you have some other type of business opportunities, you can go to business@blackwealthrenaissance.com. And just be on the lookout for things that we have in 2023. We appreciate y'all so much.
Definitely. Send podcast inquiries, podcast@blackwealthrenaissance. We're going to be looking at 2023 scheduling, trying to get some different type of people on here, y'all. So y'all reach out.
Yeah, I need big bosses, big dundadas.
We trying to get all the businesses. We want y'all to learn how to start anything, guys. So, man, again, I love y'all.
Happy holidays. Y'all. Feliz Navidad. Merry Christmas.
If y'all are Happy our Spanish Hanukkah. Listeners, please let us know, because I ain't even know we got... Do we have Spanish listeners?
Yes, nigga.
Do they translate podcasts?
I don't think so. I ain't never submitted a damn translation.
That would be fire.
But, that would, but I ain't do it.
That'd be dope. But I digress. No, again, thank y'all, as Jalen saying, Feliz Navidad, Happy Holidays.
Happy Kwanzaa, New Year to you. Thank Hanukkah. You for rocking with us for 2022. We're going up in 2023. We'll be back next year. Appreciate y'all.
Until next time, this is Black Wealth Renaissance.
Signing out. Peace.
Deuces from Dallas.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.